CBS News Brief. Federal officials are sending help to New York and New Jersey to try to get to the bottom of the growing number of mysterious drone sightings. National security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
Only parts of the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of Defense are allowed to detect and mitigate drones. That means drones are going to have the upper hand because our authorities are woefully inadequate.
Charlotte County, Florida Sheriff's Deputy Elio Diaz shot and killed during a traffic stop. Sheriff Bill Prummel.
Good family, man. He loved his children, and he was a really great cop.
The suspect was shot and killed by officers. CBS's Anna Schechter says officials are hoping to extradite the accused killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO from Pennsylvania to New York soon.
If there is a waiving of the extradition, this could move very quickly, and you could see him back in New York the following day. I would say as soon as Wednesday. That is a possibility.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Zombie fans will be excited to learn that the third installment of Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later franchise is just around the corner. The film is called 28 Years Later and stars Aaron Taylor Johnson and Ralph Fiennes. Boyle returns to the director's chair for this film after executive producing the second installment of the franchise 28 weeks later. Ben Stiller can be downright rude, at least when he's playing Hal, the role he is playing again in Happy Gilmore 2 with Adam Sandler. In an interview with Yahoo News, Stiller said about his character, "He's just so mean and he just hates Happy so much. You don't have to worry about having any redeeming qualities or being likable," which is great. For whatever reason, the plot for Happy 2 is being kept completely under wraps. Shooting for the film has been completed and a tentative release date is set for July 2025 on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers defeat the Seahawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay led 20-6 at the half and went on to win 30-13 over the Seahawks in Seattle. The Packers defense, 7 quarterback sacks, special teams with a good kick return and 3 field goals. On offense, wide receiver Romeo Doubs back from a concussion with 2 touchdown catches.
That's just part of us just getting better collectively as a core. Yeah, I just look forward to progress, cleaning up the details on tape and just moving on to the next one.
Quarterback Jordan Love.
Coming out fast. Putting up some touchdowns early. You know, defense doing a great job getting the ball back for us. But, you know, that's when we're at our best is starting fast, getting the ball, putting up points, and going from there.
Packers linebacker Quay Walker left the game with an ankle injury. Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith having an MRI on his right knee after being sacked in the third quarter. Sam Howell took over the rest of the game. NBA, the Bucks getting ready to face the Thunder in the NBA Cup Finals in Vegas. Tip-off time tomorrow night at 7:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A little foggy out there this morning. It'll be mostly cloudy all day, becoming breezy by late this afternoon. High today, 46. Wind southwest 10 to 20, gusting to near 30 after about 4 o'clock today. Tonight, 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 39. On Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth.
That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
6.7 FM, 1670 AM. The Zone.
Chicago to help you wake up on a very foggy start to a Monday morning. Welcome in, everybody. I am Farm Director Pam Yockey. Yeah, you are going to notice dense fog advisory in effect for a lot of Wisconsin today, so make sure you're giving yourself a little extra time if you've got to get to the office or get the kids to school or something like that. Probably isn't going to burn off until later this morning. Cloudy skies are in the forecast. Daytime highs today around 42. Maybe a little bit of a wind that you'll notice out of the west, gusting up to 25 miles an hour. Tonight, same thing. Gusty winds down to 28. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, 37. Wednesday, sunshine and 30 degrees. And then Thursday, looks like we've got a pretty good shot at snow in the forecast. How much? Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will give us those details in about 15 minutes. Also on the way, Stephanie Hoff reminding us how important it is if you are going to be donating this year to an animal shelter. Donate locally. Get the money directly into hands of volunteers and staff near you. She's visiting with a woman from Sauk County to explain how vital those local donations are. And up next, the can of the green beans, corn, peas, or what have you, you're buying at the grocery store might actually be more expensive than the vegetable you're looking for. Just one of the stories from the Midwest Food Processors Association recent convention, and Ben Jarboe's got the details on that one just around the corner.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to outyield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
For many years, the Midwest Food Products Association has been working hard to make sure consumers get the nutritious produce they need. But this has not come without its challenges. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarboe. And as acres to produce diminish, it has created some issues for the food products industry. Jason Collada, the president of the Midwest Food Products Association, joins me to speak on some of the key problems they are facing and how they are working to combat them.
Well, our roots with this association are really in Wisconsin's canning of vegetables. And so we have a lot of canning and freezing members from that legacy industry. And there have been some challenges. There's been a lot of consolidation in that industry. But in particular, this area, the upper Midwest, is a real strong, a powerhouse, if you will, of producing sweet corn, green beans, peas. We are rivaled only by Washington State, really, when it comes to producing those crucial processing crops for the canned and frozen vegetable industry.
Are any regulations making it harder to be able to produce these crops, like with regulations on herbicides and that kind of thing? How hard has that been in the past, let's say, 20 years for the industry as a whole?
Yeah, no, that's a really key issue that we have to contend with. So there's a pressure from wanting to improve water quality and public health concerns. And then there's a desire to improve those standards. And what we run into is there are certain crops that may only have one or two crop treatments available. And if they are removed because of those concerns, and they're legitimate concerns, we run into trouble because we don't have other tools in the toolbox. And so one of the things that we try to do with our association in particular is fund research through the University of Wisconsin and the University of Minnesota, where we're trying to develop alternatives for those crop treatments, whether new ones that can be registered through IR4, or if there's things we can do on the growing side or on the breeding side to avert the need for crop treatments.
Well, when you take a look at these specialty crops, another issue that a lot of people talk about is they think everything's GMO and that it's bad and that kind of thing. Are you seeing a lot of that in the industry and part of speculation about what's going on?
on with the produce?
Ben, I appreciate you bringing that up because we hear that a lot. And the truth is that almost all, well, I should say the specialty crops that we produce in the upper Midwest, you will not find GMO crops for human consumption. Of course, with field corn, with soybeans, which we don't represent, you have those issues arise, on, especially on the animal side. But for us on the specialty crops, we do not produce GMO crops. And in all the product we have, it's a constant battle where people assume that we're adding all these things. And typically, it's the crop itself that's in the can or the frozen bag, right? But in the can, for example, it'll be the crop, it'll be some water, and there may be some salt. And it tastes better with the salt than without.
Well, and I'm sure another issue that this industry is running into, as long as the rest of agriculture, is a labor shortage. People aren't wanting to go out and be farmers and work with produce and plants and stuff anymore. What is the industry doing to try to combat that?
Yeah, like you said, with any industry in America today, that's a real challenge. So we have a couple of solutions. First of all, probably a half dozen of our member companies have resorted to using seasonal workers, almost all of whom come from Texas and come up for a portion. It might be June to November or some place within there. The sweet corn crop is the most labor intensive, so we tend to get more workers as the season goes on. And these are hardworking folks who want to come up. Many of them have done this type of work for three and four generations. Sometimes they'll all come together and work, which is impressive, and there's a lot of pride in those companies and the families that have worked in the same company for that length of time. But we still really struggle. Many of our plants are located in rural areas, and in times past, our seasonal help was the football team or something like that, and that labor is not available as it was in times past. So there's a lot of attention on automation and what can we do in food processing to reduce the need for labor, particularly when it's like a work comp type situation where heavy lifting or so. There's been a big move toward palletizers and depalletizers and equipment like that that's robotic. And if there are further places we can do that, we are always looking for improvements that can be done. And we're really not looking to replace jobs, but we're looking to find technology that can fill in where we don't have the labor to help.
And with the H-2A, I'm sure the industry uses that a lot, but with the Trump administration coming back in, we know he's hard on the immigration and just having foreign people come in to even help with work. How do you think that's going to affect this industry, and is that where the automation's really going to come in over these next 4 years, or what are you thinking with that?
Well, first of all, we do have some members that utilize H-2A, but it's not very many. The seasonal workers are typically legal residents of the United States, and so we just don't get into those. You know, we have I-9 verification, and which pretty much is the standard for the standard for our industry, and compliance is very important. But what you shared is a strong concern that I think the broader agriculture community in particular is very concerned about, is what happens if we do. You can understand a crackdown on the criminal illegal population, but if it were to be the broader population of folks who are not here legally, there will be some impact to agriculture, definitely.
When we stick looking at the new administration, Dr. Tracy, he was talking about how the U.S. is the largest sweet corn exporter. I'm sure there's other crops here in the U.S. that have large exports as well. With the possible tariffs that Trump's going to put on, probably retaliation from others, how is this going to affect this industry?
Well, that remains to be seen. We're still contending with tariffs that were imposed on steel back in 2018 when President Trump was first in office. We have really struggled with that. While we have the ability to produce all of the nation's need for canned vegetables here. And what's happened is because we have to pay tariff on the tin plate steel that's used for American cans, because the U.S. U.S. does not produce. We had two American producers of tin plate. We're down to one, and they cannot meet. They meet about 40% of our market's need, and so we have to go overseas to buy. And so there's tariffs, and there are also quotas on, like, South Korean steel, which is a high quality that our industry, there's a need for quality. And so so we've really struggled with the tariffs. We were very disappointed when President Biden's administration effectively made no change to his predecessor's policy. And we are now in the position of losing domestic market share in American groceries and convenience stores because we have to pay tariff on our cans, and many of our foreign competitors do not pay tariff on the cans they sell. And so the ocean freight is the differential, and that tariff amount, about 40% of the cost of a can you see in the store is the tin, the metal, to make that, the steel, I should say, to make that can. It's not the crop. It's not the labor. So much of it is driven by that inflated price because of tariffs. And we're not talking about sourcing metal from China. We're talking about allied countries, Belgium, France, South Korea, Canada. If these are places that we could get at whether a reduced tariff rate or ideally back to no tariff from these allied countries, that would really benefit our domestic market and allow us to continue to grow vegetables from Wisconsin potato and vegetable growers or those in Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois. That's our basin from which we grow, and it's a real challenge for us, and we're concerned what happens next with tariffs.
After years of hard work to help better the industry, Jason Culotta announced that he will be stepping down from being president of the Midwest Food Products Association, and that Nick Novak will be taking over the role. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Not my winter coat up at the other house. That dawned on me this morning as I was shuffling around trying to figure out where I put it down. Then it's like, oh man, I don't remember wearing it yesterday.
Not very smart, Pam.
I know. Today you might need it just a little bit, but still, all in all, pretty mild.
Yeah, the week really stays mild. We're still on the high swing as far as temperatures, but it cools down then as we head to midweek. Couple of little precipitation chance. The fog is the biggest deal. Dense fog advisory till 9 a.m. Let's start in the southeast. Of course, Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, down to Racine, Kenosha, into Illinois, up through Madison, Beaver Dam, into Green Lake and Marquette County, and all the way over to La Crosse, and then further north, kind of skipping away from the Green Bay area. But heading up through Stevens Point, Neillsville, Wausau, all the way up to Rhinelander and Marinette, Menominee, Iron Mountain, all under that dense fog advisory with that very mild air that rode in yesterday and the moisture that held with it. The fog kind of built in already in the day and lingered through the night into this morning. A weak front out to the west trying to build through today. Nothing really showing up on the radar right now in terms of precipitation, but there may be a little bit of a rain chance almost anywhere in Wisconsin by late today. Or this evening, a sprinkly little shower, another organized front, a lot of activity coming this week. Another front drops from the Dakotas on into our area as well, and may account for a little rain-snow mix already in western Wisconsin late Tuesday or into Tuesday night. In the east and southeast, maybe not Tuesday night until early Wednesday. I don't expect this to be a big deal, although west central Wisconsin, and I'm kind of looking toward La Crosse, Mauston, and into central Wisconsin, we may talk an inch or two of snow that could accumulate as we make our way on through Tuesday night into very early Wednesday. Not a big deal. Temperatures not dropping into the deep freeze, but dropping to a little below freezing so that snow could stick around a bit. I'd expect some clouds and cooler weather on toward the end of the week. And even if the weekend starts out kind of cold, moderation again into next week as we start heading toward the holiday, I don't think we're going to be talking about a deep freeze even at that time. I'll have forecast details right after this.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
All right, buddy, for anybody that's already moving around out there, they better give themselves a little extra time with this fog.
Yep, the dense fog advisory we talked about all over a good part of the state until 9 a.m. this morning. That fog will linger longer as well. It may not be quite so dense, but it could stick around even into the afternoon. A mostly cloudy day really in store. Could be a little light rain in western Wisconsin as we head toward midday or into the afternoon. I expect those temps in the upper 30s, low 40s in the south, and the south winds become west about 5 to 15. Overnight, mostly cloudy. Low 20s, maybe an upper 20 in the south, 28 or so, and I'd expect the west winds 5 to 15, gusting to 25. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Talked about it again, west and north, a little light snow around as we move on toward late afternoon Tuesday or into Tuesday night. I'd expect those temps tomorrow still in the very upper 20s to mid 30s with the west winds at 5 to 10. And Wednesday, partly sunny skies, a little light snow early in the east and south, maybe only up to 30 in the south, in the mid or low 20s the further north you head, Pam. Not all that windy northwest winds, even 5 to 15 Wednesday, but temps are going to be slowly cooling for midweek.
Are they going to be able to hang on to that snow, let's say, north of 29, you think, Stu?
It's possible now. I mean, we don't see those 40-degree days returning anymore, so yeah, we may actually start to build a little cover.
Because I did a story last week with some Stevens Point area researchers that are talking about how ski hills have had to change kind of their practices because of these kinds of mild temperatures. It kind of really sucker punches them with the length of season, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah. When we drop from cold weather for a couple of days to something up over 40 like this past weekend, yeah, it melts off quick.
Yeah, well, rain takes it away pretty good, too. So, all right.
Yeah.
I got doggy paws all over the place with this stuff.
You're not alone.
All right, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial ag weather update to get you started on a Monday. Don't forget, Compure Financial, your partner in agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com. We're visiting with an animal shelter in Sauk County to find out how you can help this holiday season.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
CBS News Brief. Federal officials are sending help to New York and New Jersey to try to get to the bottom of the growing number of mysterious drone sightings. National security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
Only parts of the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of Defense are allowed to detect and mitigate drones. That means drones are going to have the upper hand because our authorities are woefully inadequate.
Charlotte County, Florida Sheriff's Deputy Elio Diaz shot and killed during a traffic stop. Sheriff Bill Prummel.
Good family, man. He loved his children, and he was a really great cop.
The suspect was shot and killed by officers. CBS's Anna Schechter says officials are hoping to extradite the accused killer of United Healthcare CEO from Pennsylvania to New York soon.
If there is a waiving of the extradition, this could move very quickly, and you could see him back in New York the following day. I would say as soon as Wednesday. That is a possibility.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Drew Barrymore says she has been warned by her talk show guests not to be so touchy. The host often holds the hands of her guests and is very huggy and says she is working on not invading people's space and respecting boundaries. In a recent appearance on the show, Wicked star Cynthia Erivo said she didn't mind as she is very affectionate as well and gave permission to Touchy McGee to be affectionate during her appearance. Grabby Moore also held hands with Ariana Grande when she made an appearance on the show. I wonder if she would be as handsy with Seth Rogen. Doubtful. Third time as a a charm for Anne Hathaway, who says Christopher Nolan saved her career. I had no idea it was ever in danger, but show folk do tend to exaggerate. The Oscar-winning actress says being cast in her third Christopher Nolan film let her know she was doing something right. Other Nolan films the actress has appeared in include The Dark Knight Rises, Interstellar, and Oppenheimer. Hathaway also appears in the new Nolan movie, which people know very little about, and that's the way Christopher Nolan likes it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers defeat the Seahawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay led 20-6 at the half and went on to win 30-13 over the Seahawks in Seattle. The Packers defense, 7 quarterback sacks, special teams with a good kick return and 3 field goals. On offense, wide receiver Romeo Doubs back from a concussion with 2 touchdown catches.
That's just part of us just getting better collectively as a core. Yeah, I just look forward to progress, cleaning up the details on tape and just moving on to the next one.
Quarterback Jordan Love.
Coming out fast. Putting up some touchdowns early. You know, defense doing a great job getting the ball back for us. But, that's when we're at our best, is starting fast, getting the ball, putting up points, and going from there.
Packers linebacker Quay Walker left the game with an ankle injury. Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith having an MRI on his right knee after being sacked in the third quarter. Sam Howell took over the rest of the game. NBA, the Bucks getting ready to face the Thunder in the NBA Cup Finals in Vegas. Tip-off time tomorrow night at 7:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
A little foggy out there this morning. It'll be mostly cloudy all day, becoming breezy by late this afternoon. High today, 46. Wind southwest 10 to 20, gusting to near 30 after about 4 o'clock today. Tonight, 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 39 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation.
They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Actually, where they're headed. I got 12 and 5.
I want to hit you in your taste buds on a Monday morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Midwest Farm Report right here for you. Before we wrap it up today, we are going to catch up with a chef that is all about sourcing his menu items locally. And you know what? In Wisconsin, that's not necessarily difficult. Spring, summer, even fall. But what about winter? Kyle Julius is the owner and operator of Chef at Large Catering. Bumped into him last week at a conference, and we had a really interesting conversation about how diligently he works to try to keep his menu fresh, and a little something for all of us to think about when it comes to buying local in the wintertime. Yes, it's a Monday, the 16th day of December, as a matter of fact. What can I tell you about this date? Let's see, on this day back in 1707, that was the last eruption of Mount Fuji. Yeah, highest volcano in Japan. Do you know that eruption lasted 17 days? It's also the last time that it was active. On this day in 1773, the Boston Tea Party took place in the Boston Harbor. On this day, 2010, last episode of Larry King Live aired after 25 years. And on this day in 1950, child star Shirley Temple announced her retirement from films. How old was she? 22. And now you know. Hey, you're going to notice a theme from the Midwest Farm Report. If you're planning on giving donations this winter of a financial type to organizations, if it has to do with animals, animal rescue, animal shelter, please contribute locally. Stephanie Hoff found out how important local donations are to your local Humane Society shelter when she talked with a gal from Sauk County.
It's the season of giving, and if you're an animal lover, you're probably inclined to donating to your local animal shelter. Today, we're visiting with Stephanie Kramer. She's a volunteer with the Sauk County Humane Society. What surprised me when she walked into the studio is that she's also the United States of America's Mrs. Wisconsin. She's pretty outspoken about the importance of local animal shelters, especially in rural areas. She tells us what the costs and needs are to operate a shelter and the best way to give your donations or your time. First, Stephanie tells us what makes the Sauk County Humane Society unique.
We are what we consider to be the last true open admission shelter in Wisconsin. And we take in roughly 2,000 or so animals every single year. And that's a lot for a small rural shelter. It really does have us busting at the seams. And we do not charge surrender fees, nor do we require appointments for individuals if they needed to surrender an animal for any reason. We take in any animal under any circumstance, day or night, 365 days a year. And because of that, over 65% of our animals come from outside of Sauk County.
Just how much does it take in terms of resources to keep this type of operation open? As you said, 365, 24 hours a day, accepting 2,000 animals a year. That sounds expensive.
Running an animal shelter is incredibly expensive, especially if and when we are giving individualized attention to every animal that comes through our doors. A couple things I think would be important to discuss would be tests. So every single animal upon intake is going to undergo a test. So cats, for example, are going to be tested for feline leukemia or feline AIDS, if you will. And not all shelters do this anymore because of the extreme costs that are associated with doing so. Dogs are also heartworm tested, especially if they're showing any signs or other signs. We also test them for tick-borne diseases. Now, if you think about us humans, animals are the same in that they also require vaccinations. So every dog that comes through our door is vaccinated for distemper, kennel cough, lepo, and every cat is also vaccinated for distemper.
The veterinarian services that we think about for our own pets, but the shelter pets get that kind of attention too.
So dogs, cats, rabbits, they're all given preventative testing as well. Monthly heartworm, flea and tick, things like that. Now, daily care. It's something I don't think community members often think about, is that all animals require this daily care. So the plethora, the 2,000 plus animals that we get in, have this non-medical daily care. And those expenses include things like wet food, dry food, kitty litter, laundry detergent, dish soap, bleach, toys, other cleaning products. So many things that go into it. And this, of course, is completely in addition to the normal operating expenses that are necessary to keep the shelter running. And then finally, emergency care. Sometimes these animals are sick, or sometimes they're injured. And when they come through our door, they could be in very critical condition. Just this year alone, we have already spent over $40,000 on emergency care. One example could be Princess, one of our dogs that came in who needed to be taken to the emergency vet because of her puppies and the pregnancy.
So Stephanie, when it comes to the giving season, wanting to either donate, you know, cash funds to your local shelter, or maybe you want to donate your time, what are some of the best practices for giving?
There is this misconception that shelters are all somehow linked together, but that's not the way it works. Every local shelter is its own private entity. So when you give to a local shelter, your resources, your gifts go directly to the care of those animals. And sure, there are large national organizations that might do amazing things, and they do. But when you donate to those organizations, you're also paying for some of the highly paid executive staff members. When you contribute to a local shelter, that money is directly going to those animals.
As you heard from Stephanie today, the shelter is bursting at the seams and is campaigning for a new building in 2025. Donations and your time are welcome to make that goal a reality in the new year. Stephanie Kramer is one of the many volunteers at the shelter. She's also the United States of America's Mrs. Wisconsin. Happy to have her along with us today. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
What's that you say? You didn't hear what the guest said, or you missed part of the conversation? No problem. Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, and glance through our podcast playlist. You'll see the entire conversation or the completed show all in that list. Plus, you might stumble across something that you missed. Score! That podcast playlist is also a great way to pass the time in the truck cab or the tractor seat. That's MidwestFarmReport.com.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Big congratulations to Darren Von Ruden from Westby. He is a dairy farmer that's passed the reins on to his son so he can continue to be involved with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. During the 94th Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention that wrapped up yesterday in Wisconsin Dells, Darren was elected to another term as their president. You'll hear more on the Wisconsin Farmers Union 94th Annual Convention a little bit later this week. Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished a quarter cent lower at 172¾. 40-pound block cheese, that was up a penny and a quarter at 180, while AA butter finished the week down 6, 246.5 per pound. On a Monday morning right now, we've got our January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, currently trading down 3 cents, 1996 a hundredweight. The March cash corn's up a penny at 443. December new crop next year corn's up 2 at 441. January soybeans are up 4 at 992. November new crop's up 3 at 1009. March wheat's a penny stronger at 553. July new crop also up a penny right now at 570 a bushel. If you haven't checked out our website lately, MidwestFarmReport.com, I want you to know we're paying attention to what you're consuming. Last week, our top five stories included at number 5, Beyond Beef, Cylon Rolling Acres, and Goat Meat. Number 4, Finding Your Fit with Agricultural Internships. Number 3, Not Enough Days for the Farm Bill. That's still a pending issue. Number 2 on our playlist was a recap of the year with the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, and the number 1 listened to piece last week at MidwestFarmReport.com. The winners of Farming for the Future, the Buboltzes from Rock County. That's all available at MidwestFarmReport.com. Go ahead, click and listen. See if one of your stories makes it to our top 5 this week from MidwestFarmReport.com. Up next, you know, we all love to eat local, support our local farmers, but how do you do that in December when there's not very many items that are fresh? Kyle Julius, owner and operator of Chef at Large Catering, is doing it, and we're going to find out how next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft.
But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Last week at a watershed meeting in Whitewater, where he was emphasizing to the audience that the ingredients of our meal came from local sources, which begs the question at this time of the year, what's fresh around Wisconsin? If you're really committed to buying local, consuming local, what do you have to choose from in December? I talked with Kyle Julius a little bit about his love of food and how it got started. He introduces the subject by admitting he did not grow up on a farm, but has always been curious about where food comes from.
I've always been an outdoorsman. I like going out in nature, foraging. I do a lot of mushroom foraging, ramps, wild onions, things like that. So being connected with my food system has always been important. And then coming up in Madison restaurants, obviously there's a big focus on that. A lot of the time it's just for lip service to get people in the door. But coming from that background, I come from a hunting family, and that respect for your food, making sure you're fully utilizing things. And looking at seasonality of things, you know, as a hunter or a gatherer, you really need to look at what's available in the season and work with that, as opposed to try to force things in your menu. Everybody likes asparagus, but in December, it's not the right time to be serving it. So looking at comparables, things that are available, there's always something green growing, whether that be watercress in January or, you know, the tender greens in the spring.
Now, that's interesting to say that there's something's always growing, because for many of us traditional Wisconsinites, we're like, nah, I'm going to a jar, I'm going to a bag, I'm going to something that I grew and am holding on to. Tell me a little bit, Kyle, on how you've seen, shall we see, the food opportunities grow for chefs like you, because everybody's paying attention to local now.
Yeah, I mean, companies like Garden to Be, Scott Williams does an amazing job over there brokering a lot of different farms, getting access to some of the Hmong farmers, ethnic farmers that otherwise wouldn't get representation. Everybody knows about the big companies like Harmony Valley and Crossroads and some of those other larger producers, and they're great to work with, but having that community and some people that are advocates for that community really helps the access to consumers and chefs like myself. And then you're also having a lot more farm commerce happening as well. Vitruvian Farms is a great example of that with their new farm store, where they're trying to bring everything within the area, whether that be dry goods, fresh produce, canned goods, you know, frozen products as well, offering those good, healthy local options as opposed to going to the grocery store and buying that out of season pepper.
You know, the one thing you've already taught me, Kyle, is plan ahead and work on relationships. This one meal we're enjoying here in Whitewater started when?
So we started planning this like midsummer, late summer. So really looking at the forecast of what's going to be available for produce, and being adaptable as a chef, writing smart menus, not just focusing in on one specific vegetable, but using terminology like, you know, fall vegetables. It gives you a little bit of agency to work with the farmers, because if the local farms run out of delicata squash, then you can't really serve that. But there's plenty of other local squash available, but now you just pigeonholed yourself by a menu description.
Tell me a little bit about people inquiring for your services. Maybe give me a little perspective. When you started and how it's grown, type of clientele then, who's coming to broker with you now?
Yeah, so I've been cooking for about 20 years. I've worked in a litany of different restaurant jobs, cafes, hospitality, large banquet facilities as well. I started this business about 4 years ago and started doing small events, private events. Since then, it's blossomed. Now we're doing large corporate events. Obviously, off-site catering is what I specialize in. This May, we actually purchased a food truck, so that's really opened up some opportunities to be able to cook in the field. Nobody wants somebody showing up with fresh local vegetables that sat in a hot box for 2 hours. So really focusing on that on-site cooking, and that lends itself really well to on-the-farm dinners, weddings in the field, anything where, you know, a kitchen might not always be accessible. And I think that's what kind of sets us apart from other caterers and vendors, in addition to our hyper-local focus.
We mentioned about planning ahead, but you also work very hard at continuously cultivating new relationships. And I don't use that phrase as a pun, but literally you are always looking for new partners. Tell me me a little bit about how you keep that up.
Yeah, so a lot of it is through word of mouth. Events like this where we're getting in touch with the farming community as a whole, meeting new beef producers, new organic producers. And really, like, sometimes I'll just be driving and see a rather large, like, community farm and just kind of pop in and see who's running it, who's growing what, are they growing it personally, or are they trying to move into the commercial market? Because oftentimes they're very hard to get on a vendor list. Going down to the Dane County Farmers Market is wonderful as well, but a lot of the times there's a huge waiting list for those vendors and those farmers. So really boots on the ground, making connections, having conversations, and sometimes just showing up at farm events and, you know, shaking hands.
Yeah, that's how important the local food movement has become, not just for people like Kyle Julius, owner and operator of Chef at Large Catering, but also for the farms that want to reach those consumers hyper-focused on local food. And that'll do it for us on a Monday morning. Come back often to MidwestFarmReport.com. Catch up on our podcast playlist. And please do enroll in our daily e-newsletter. Then you won't miss a thing concerning Wisconsin agriculture and food production. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Same time, same channel.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
A nationwide effort to keep bird flu out of the milk supply. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
It was only recently that traces of highly pathogenic avian influenza were found in milk. And now the U.S. Department of Agriculture is implementing a national milk testing strategy to address the issue. Julie Gauthier of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says it's a five-stage process. Step one is at the processor level.
We'll be asking dairy inspectors to sample milk at the processing facilities from each silo that contains milk intended for pasteurization, a screening stage that we want to put in place all across the country.
Gauthier says states don't have to move through every stage, but if they do...
Stage two is something that a state can decide to use to fast-track them to demonstrate unaffected status or identify that state as being affected with this virus in their dairy herd.
The testing will identify specific herds to focus on to eliminate infections, says Gauthier.
Once a state has conducted enough significant testing to demonstrate that there is no virus present, then they can be moved to an unaffected status. Once we get all the states in the country at stage four, we can conduct at least 90 days of surveillance in order to demonstrate to the world that the U.S. is free of this virus in dairy herds.
Even after the milk supply is found to be free of high-path AI, testing and monitoring will continue. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Lots of questions, still no definitive answers about the growing number of mysterious drone sightings in the Northeast. Florida's Republican Congressman Mike Waltz tells CBS's Face the Nation.
I think what the drone issue points out are kind of gaps in our agencies, gaps in our authorities. We can't figure out where these are coming from. We need to get to the bottom of it. And I think the Biden administration is working to do that.
He's President-elect Trump's pick for national security advisor. CBS's Chanel Call.
DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas insists officials are on it, but he says there is no known foreign involvement in the drone sightings. In a statement, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said our federal partners are deploying a state-of-the-art drone detection system to New York State.
President-elect Trump's pick to head up the nation's health department heads to Capitol Hill today to meet with lawmakers key to the confirmation process. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Health and Human Services designate Robert F.